From our earliest days in catechism, we've been taught that human beings were given the gift of a free will by God. And the book of Sirach reminds us of that. If you choose, you can keep the commandments, and they will save you. If you trust in God, you too shall live. Before man are life and death, before us are good and evil, and whatever we choose, that shall be given to us. The scripture passages teach us the value of choosing widely, of choosing wisely, and seeking the kingdom of God. The word choice is used three times in the passage in the book of Sirach, and once he uses the wisdom of the Lord. So it's thinking with the mind of God, desiring with the heart of God, acting with the will of God in all things, to choose rightly. If you choose, you can keep the commandments and they will save you. The point seems to be that the wisdom of God calls every one of us to choose life, reminding us this is exactly what God says. Life and death are there before us, and the choice is up to us. God gives us both freedom and responsibility. Now, we like the freedom part. That's always good. But the responsibility, that's something a little bit different. We don't always like having responsibility, nor do we like to have consequences to our actions, but they're there. Whatever we do will have a consequence. We are indeed responsible for choosing the right and doing the good. Therefore, the wise person chooses life, not death. The wise choose love and peace, not hate or revenge. The wise are people of forgiveness and reconciliation, not of division. Choice is always there before us. We can choose to relate with others wisely by respecting their personhood and their boundaries, or we can do something different and cause division and destruction. In the second reading, St. Paul describes this choice in terms of either human wisdom or God's wisdom. We can either think with the mind of God, or we can think with the mind of the world, as human beings do. If we choose God's wisdom, then certainly we become the persons that Christ wants, living by the values of his kingdom. If we choose human wisdom, on the other hand, we end up being foolish and blaming ourselves in the end. We become the worst versions of ourselves and do no good for those around us if we choose foolishly. The relationship between God and human beings has always been likened to the relationship between a man and his wife. God, of course, being the bridegroom, Christ being the bridegroom, and we, the church, of course, being the bride. So when we make a choice to forgive and we show the values of the kingdom of Christ, we're kind of showing the forgiveness between a husband and wife, which is why Jesus talks about married life in this passage. Just as he calls couples to make a choice to live their married life in fidelity, he's asking us to make a choice to live our lives in faithfulness to him. When couples choose to do that, they live in a very radical way of life. They set an example for others, and they become the best example of married life by their mutual love, selfless love, and of course their self-giving. That choice starts in the heart by choosing to be holy. So when a husband decides he's going to be holy, a wife decides she'll be holy, then they help each other in striving for holiness. For Jesus, obviously, marriage is part of God's plan, reflecting God's fidelity to the chosen people. So a married relationship is therefore a place of safety, nurture, and honor. For us as Christians living in the world, we are to make this world in which we live a place of safety, nurture, and honor, not a place of violence, dishonesty, and destructiveness. So for Jesus, by forbidding divorce, he's calling for a reconciled relationship between husband and wife instead of living in struggle and strife against one another. And so it is with our life with God. He's calling us to have a reconciliation with him by turning away from sin and choosing a life of grace. And the same thing with our lives with one another. Again, choosing a life of forgiveness and of building each other up. Again, not falling into struggle or strife. So Jesus can show us in his very person what it means to live that sort of a life. As Jesus said in the gospel, "I did not come to take away the law and the prophets, but to fulfill them." What does that mean? Well, if you read the entirety of the first five books of the Old Testament, known as the Law, if you read all the prophets who keep calling the Israelites and God's people back to faithful service of the law, you're going to say, this is a lot. This is a lot to do. Can I even do all of these things? And Jesus says, you can sum up the whole thing. The law and the prophets are in these two verses. Love God. Love God completely with your heart, your soul, your mind, and your strength, and love your neighbor as you love yourself. On this, Jesus says, rest the law and the prophets. And then he lives a life that shows us exactly how to do that. So Jesus embodies in himself an example of how to live the fullness of the law and the prophets. What does Jesus do? Well, in regard to the first commandment, to love God completely, Jesus obviously is filled. He's filled with love for his Father. He reverences God and refers to him often as Father, if it be your will that I do this or that. He's always worshiping God. He's there in the temple. He's in the synagogue. He's praying to his Father. So for Jesus, God becomes very central. And for us as Christians, Jesus as the Son of God becomes central, who brings us to a right relationship with God our Father, that we too can love and respect God, to love him, reverence and worship him. And in that, we always seek to the moral and the physical good of our neighbor, just as Jesus did. He took care of the hungry and the sick. He brought the dead to life. He's asking us to do the very same thing, to bring life where death is there, to bring happiness where there's sadness, to bring refreshment where there's hunger or thirst, to always seek the moral and the physical good of our neighbor, to help them to live a life of holiness themselves. And we do this not out of slavish obedience, but out of love. All of God's commands are to be fulfilled out of love. In this, our righteousness surpasses that of the outwardly religious. And so Jesus tells us, do not kill. Do not kill the body. Do not kill the mind. Don't kill the spirit of another. Do not give in to anger or to wrath. Don't give in to condemnation, but instead build up, forgive, and reconcile. Seek to be at peace with God, with others, and within yourself. Always keep pure in your heart, in your mind, in your actions. Practice sacrifice and self-control. Keep a guard over your imagination, that your heart's desires, that the thoughts of your mind, your actions come from purity and holiness, not from base human passions. Keep marriage holy. Enter into the marriage covenant with clear discernment in a spirit of prayer, seeking God's will, not your own. And love your spouse as much as, if not more than, yourself. Do not lie. Do not bear false witness against another. Commit no perjury. Don't seek to twist the truth for your own ends, or to deceive others by blowing smoke and making things seem what they're not, what we call sometimes white lies or lies nonetheless. Speak plainly, speak honestly, don't dance around the issues, but be honest and tell the truth. This is what Jesus continues teaching in his Sermon on the Mount. He's addressing his moral issues, telling us to be persons of peace, persons of compassion, persons of honesty and of holiness. To be a person of peace and compassion means to be a person of forgiveness overall, imitating Jesus himself, who said at the last moment of his life, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. We must never allow ourselves to become people consumed by hatred, consumed by greed, consumed by passion to the point they would destroy what God has made so beautiful. And the choice is ours. What kind of life do we want to live? One of peace, one of happiness, one of holiness? Then choose rightly. Choose rightly. God does not command us to act unjustly, and to no one does he give license to sin. Instead, Jesus said, be holy as God your Father in heaven is holy. Be perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Think with the mind of God. Choose with the heart of God. Be wise and choose correctly.